Welcome to the Fantasy Champions Fantasy Football Podcast. Here's your host, Morgan Colby and Rick Lemon.
We're back!
What's going on?
I'm back. Rick's back. Everyone's back. The dead fly on the floor back here is back.
It's been a minute.
It's been
had a little off-season break. Yeah, and now we're back.
I think we should do an off-season break every year.
You know, I would not be opposed to that. Because,
you know, the mock drafting in the middle of February...
It's kind of tough. There's only so much you can do in like in February, you know. That's there's no free agency yet. It's the Super Bowl, and you kind of get a couple weeks where there's nothing really going on.
Yeah. So it's not bad, but we are glad to be back. We're excited to be back. We got so much content. We're changing it up, so it's gonna be a lot of different stuff that we're doing this year in terms of content. Not the same old stale stuff. Incorporating. I would say significant amounts of Dynasty content into the next couple of months.
More Dynasty content, some daily fantasy content.
Yes, sir.
A couple new things.
We have a lot of rookies to talk about, too. Lots of them. This is
going to be a good rookie draft. So.
Huge quarterback class. Lots of receivers.
Running backs, though, kind of crap.
This is where we'll get like two... workhorse stud running backs, because that's how it works,
right? Of course.
But anyway, welcome back to the pod. Glad to be back. Today we're gonna chat about some free agency additions that happened over the last couple weeks. Teams have changed. I wrote down in the notes here, old faces, new places.
Oh, there you go.
Hey. So we'll chat about those guys and what the fantasy implications are for those players.
A lot of fantasy implications this offseason.
So that's great. Before we jump into all of that stuff, please follow us on all social platforms. If you're listening on any podcast platform, please just go down there, leave a review. It's real simple. Just type in the review and you'll be good to go. And if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe. Smash the bell so you get notifications every time we post the video, and then like and comment on the video. You know, that'll drive the traffic up so more people can see this friggin' content, and maybe more people will be good at fantasy football. I don't know, Rick. What do you think?
We'll see.
We'll see how much we get wrong this year. Garrett Wilson, baby. Wide receiver one again.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started. There's one guy. Rick is going to be – he's going to have to remove his drawers for this episode so he can talk about this player, but we'll get there.
Who's that?
We'll get
I know who it is. All right.
We'll get there. All right, so let's jump into it. We'll call the segment Old Faces, New Places, because I wrote it down. We'll start with the quarterbacks here that signed in free agency. A lot of guys moving around. I think it's hilarious because Kirk Cousins signed a deal with the Falcons, but with Washington, he promised that he wanted to finish as a Washington Redskin. With the Vikings, he promised that he would finish as a Minnesota Viking, and now he has done the same exact thing with Atlanta. So if history shows true, he will be starting for another football team in 4 years.
Is he the Kyrie Irving of football?
Say it again?
Is he the Kyrie Irving of football?
He might be. A much nicer version.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he signs with the Atlanta Falcons, 4 years, $180 million to start for that team, which frankly has really had a loaded roster and no quarterback for a couple of years.
I don't know, like, is the situation a downgrade for him compared to Minnesota, or is it kind of the same? I think the Falcons have a better defense than Minnesota, so like they're going to be and they're in an easier division, so they're probably going to win 10-11 games, make the playoffs, probably win the NFC South.
I think offensively Minnesota's top heavy, to answer your question. So
yeah,
they had Justin Jefferson, and then after that, I mean,
this year though, they had Addison, you got Hockenson.
I was going to say they
have some good players.
Jordan Addison and Justin.
I would say the way I view it is it's not really for just, we're just talking about fantasy football here. I don't think there's a real huge difference from him going to Minnesota to Atlanta. So the way I viewed Kirk Cousins before is kind of similar, which is good. It's a good situation to be in. I think Drake London has untapped potential. We all know about Kyle Pitts and his untapped potential.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson is Bijan. Maybe the best running back he's played with other than, you know, prime Dalvin Cook. Like, it's going to be like that again. So
good offensive line.
There's definitely some good players there.
Did you say offensive line?
Offensive line, I think their offensive line is pretty decent. I don't think it's anything special, but neither was Minnesota. So
I mean, obviously, fantasy-wise for Kirk Cousins, the likelihood, I don't know what his injury, because there's so many different factors. There's the new team.
Right, he tore his Achilles. Forgot about that.
Well, yeah, he tore his Achilles? I thought it was ACL.
Yeah, no, he tore his Achilles. Same injury as Rodgers.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, no, he tore his Achilles.
$180 million,
baby. Good luck, Atlanta. But he tore his Achilles, so I don't know how that's going to affect his fantasy upside in production. But when he's healthy and he's on the field and he has talent around him, which he does in all of these instances, assuming the offense is okay, I think Kirk Cousins can be where he normally is, around, what is that, 8 to 12 at the quarterback position?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of how I'd view it.
If the injury is bad for him, then obviously that can backfire, but
with quarterbacks potentially being healthier this year too, he might be closer to 12 than he is 8.
I frankly don't care about Kirk Cousins from a fantasy perspective, because around here we don't want Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, especially
we want real quarterbacks. Mr. I'm gonna pay way too much for CJ Stroud this offseason. So what I'm more focused on is the fantasy value increase that Kirk Cousins provides to Drake London, Bijan Robinson, and Kyle Pitts. And what kind of impact does that have for those guys moving forward?
I would say it's great for all three. I mean, it's especially London and Pitts. And I don't know, you know, they might end up getting overhyped to the point where people are like, oh, they're going to be studs now. And they might get overdrafted, but it's without a doubt an upgrade. I mean, what they had last year with like Desmond Ridder and Heinicke was just not good. Also, their new coaching staff, right? Like Arthur Smith was a run heavy coach.
Mm-hmm.
They now have Zach Robinson's going to run that offense, came from the Rams. They'll be a lot more balanced. I think there's just a lot of good things for both those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously big upgrades for both Pitts and London.
Yes.
I will be very interested to see though
if
how hyped they get up. Because I saw a post the other day about Drake London being like a top receiver.
We doing this already?
He was a second, so top seven fantasy receivers like early second round.
Yeah, no, that might even be your PPR. It might be our first round pick, baby.
Yeah, so it's
that's a little bit much.
You wanna do that?
I'm not necessarily in on that, but I do think there's an increase for all of these guys. And I think with the Kirk Cousins signing, there's going to be a massive bump, but I don't think that bump is going to continue to happen as the season gets closer. Love the Zach Robinson.
We finally get the Kyle Pitts breakout.
Well, see, that was what I was about to ask, because I think for London, I think he's going to be great. I would say we probably are both going to be in the same boat this offseason of saying there's a good chance that Drake London ends up being at least a low-end wide receiver one. No?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a hot take.
I think that's at least possible.
Bijan, probably one of the only workhorses left in the league. He might be top three.
Top three?
Yeah.
Something
like that.
Top five?
Top five, definitely. But Kyle Pitts is the one question, because we keep doing this thing where we go in circles with Kyle Pitts, and it's like, does Kirk Cousins really provide Kyle Pitts all of that much of an increase? This year we're going to find out if Kyle Pitts either
this is the last straw with Pitts.
Pitts either sucks and it wasn't the coaching all along and it was just him being terrible at football, or at least terrible in the NFL, or was it a smart pick and they just had terrible coaching and all kinds of other things?
I want to lean the second thing, but we really are going to find out this year. I will say quickly, because we do got to move on.
Yep.
But with Pitts, Zach Robinson is going to run the Kevin O'Connell offense. So like Kirk Cousins coming in, is going to run this pretty much the same offense he ran in Minnesota, or at least a similar offense. And they got TJ Hockenson a lot of targets in that offense.
Yeah.
So I would assume they're going to get Kyle Pitts involved a lot. And if he's the player that we think he is, he's going to have a breakout year. He's finally going to have that monster season that we've been waiting for. But if it doesn't happen this year, yeah, I mean, he's
– yeah.
He becomes like – no fan or
yes, yeah.
I don't know, some of these other former first round picks that just never got going.
Right now, Fantasy Pros expert consensus: 26 different experts have Kyle Pitts in their draft rankings at 8. So that is like what we want to say. That's like a 7th to 10th round pick.
Yeah,
which is
I'm all over that. I love that
too. I like that too. So just keep an eye on Pitts. He might go flying up boards. Is that like? Guys in front of him: Evan Engram, David Njoku, Trey McBride, George Kittle. So I would be hard pressed to think that people don't start ranking Kyle Pitts higher than those guys.
But, yeah, Trey McBride. Interesting.
Yeah, he's at 4 right now. I don't understand.
I mean, I get the hype with him too, but not that much.
Yeah. But anyway, all right, let's talk about the next quarterback quickly. Baker Mayfield re-signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3 years, $100 million. So they re-up with Baker. Status quo for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So things stay the same there. If you want to invest in the fantasy assets for Tampa, it's probably not a horrible idea, but we'll see if Baker continues to have success. Russell Wilson was cut by the Denver Broncos to save a little moolah. Smart decision for them.
Yeah.
Even though they ate a load of a contract, but they cut Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson then signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 1 year, $1.2 million, which, you know what that is, Rick, for quarterbacks?
Nothing.
The veteran. Is that minimum? Minimum, yes.
Oh, wow.
So he signed the vetmin with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not a lot of stuff tied to this, but I wanted to also throw into this discussion as well about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Justin Fields was traded as well. I maybe should have done this by team because there's so many things that happen with Pittsburgh, but and we'll get
it reminded me of one that I'm typing in that we missed.
Yes, that we'll throw in the wide receiver one, but Justin Fields was then traded for by Pittsburgh. So they're both in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Which means a really good fit right now, according to reports and according to the Pittsburgh Steelers themselves, they're talking about Russell Wilson. He's the starting quarterback. Justin Fields is the backup, all of this nonsense. Now, obviously, as you get into camp, things can change. Justin Fields could go on the field and light up in training camp and everyone's like, oh my God, let's put him on the field. That could happen, which honestly, I think right now, Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson.
I do too.
I think he should be.
Once we get there, I think Fields is going to start week one. And even if Russell Wilson ends up starting week one, if he starts struggling, I think they're at some point going to go to Fields.
Yes. So, but you have these two guys here.
Yeah.
Let's just start with Russ.
Okay.
Assuming he starts, what does that do for George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth and Najee Harris? Or if you want Anthony, what's his name?
I don't love it, but at the same time, it's not like they had anything to work with, right? Like Kenny Pickett last year, Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky. They had a bunch of trash last year. And Pickens is going to have more opportunity this year. He's going to be the true alpha, the number one. So it's probably a good thing for those guys a little bit, but it's not like a huge upgrade in my opinion. Because I don't think Russell Wilson is great. And we saw what it looked like in Denver. With Sutton and Jerry Jeudy last year. So it's not going to be anything special, but it might still be an upgrade just considering what they had last year. If we were talking about Patriots quarterbacks, like Brissett might be an upgrade over like Zappe, even though Brissett's not
really that much quarterback. I would tend to agree with that considering the situation. Bringing up Denver is a great example of what he is currently capable of for fantasy assets. So like Pickens probably remains a wide receiver two low end. Maybe he jumps up to mid-range wide receiver two because he does get more opportunity. But with Russ, I don't think we really get much of an upgrade. It just depends on how often they get into the red zone with Arthur Smith as their offensive coordinator.
Oh my gosh, dude! I forgot about that.
Into the woods.
That was gonna be that's good for Najee.
It is good for now. Well, who knows? I don't even know if it's going Jalen to be.
Going to get 20 carries a game.
I don't even know if it's going to be.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Yes. Yeah, I might stay away from the Steelers this year.
Yeah, Steelers are kind of questionable. But there's one dude that if he plays,
yeah,
that you probably should have in fantasy football, and that would be Justin Fields, because of the rushing upside. It's sad for me and all my shares in Dynasty, and we'll talk about that down the road with what to do with Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. But I agree with Rick. I think at some point this year that Justin Fields will probably either A, win the job in camp or win the job during the regular season. One of those two things is going to happen. He's going to end up the starter this year. So for redraft, which is what we do primarily, he might even be worth a little stash late in drafts in like the 15th or 16th round and, dumping him on the bottom of
the roster. Deeper leagues, like leagues that we're in.
Yeah. So, and just holding him until maybe he gets the starting job. Obviously, if he doesn't, that doesn't work. But I'd rather have him than not have him. So, But quickly, really quickly, before we finish off the quarterbacks, Justin Fields, if he goes to, if he ends up being the starter, does that change anything or do the fantasy assets outside of, like what we were talking about.
I think that probably wouldn't change anything until further notice. Because the last we've seen of Fields as a passer is kind of not great.
Yeah.
Great for fantasy because of his rushing.
Yep.
But just purely as a passer, he's not great. So I don't know if it would be like a huge upgrade over Russ in terms of the passing. But obviously rushing-wise, it would be.
Yep. Okay. So final one, Sam Howell trades to the Seattle Seahawks. They still have Geno Smith over there. So my assumption is that Sam Howell for fantasy football is going to be worthless this year. Unless he takes the job from Geno. But I doubt that's going to happen.
I think Howell is a NFL backup. Yep. So I know there's some the Howell people were saying that he could take over Geno's job. I don't really see that happening. I think he's kind of in that Drew Lock. Like what Drew Lock was for the Seahawks last year, that's going to be Sam Howell.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's talk about running backs. The year.
Yeah.
Of the running back, 2024, the year of our Lord.
I want to say before we get started here that I think it was Albert Breer had mentioned that one of the reasons why there was so much running back movement this year is because the running back draft class, most NFL teams think it's garbage.
Don't like it, yeah.
So their idea of getting a new running back was to sign one.
Yes.
Which in previous years has not been the case because the running back market has been terrible and you can just get a running back in like the second or third round and just plug and play him from day one. But this year, there might only be like two or three guys that you can really do that with.
Yeah, for sure.
If that.
All right. So quickly through some of these guys, we might hit on some, cause I would say the top three to all of these guys are fantasy.
Yeah, really all of them.
I'm like, I don't know how to like, but the big ones we'll hit on for, a little longer. Saquon Barkley signed with the Philadelphia Eagles 3 years, $37.75 million. So he finally gets paid. The Giants let him walk straight to the Eagles. Rick, quickly, what are your thoughts about Saquon to the Philadelphia Eagles? Because I'll let you open, and then I'll dash your hopes and dreams.
Look, I tweeted something, and you said, just wait till he gets hurt in week one. So, obviously, health is going to be important, as it always is, for most running backs, and especially Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
But, dude, when he's out there, this is going to be,
it should be special.
Match made in heaven. That offensive line, he has never had a good offensive line.
Jason Kelce called the Eagles and said, can I come back?
Yeah. I think, dude, imagine they get Jason Kelce to come out of retirement and come back at center and they run it back because they've had like a top five offensive line the last few years, top three offensive line. Mm-hmm. And we were watching some DeAndre Swift highlights from last year and just some of the holes, it was so easy and you just never see that on the Giants. So he's going to have a great opportunity with a great offensive line, a great offense, things that you've never heard before with Barkley. And although he's kind of at the end of his career at this point now, because he's, a 26-year-old running back or whatever he is, for this year, just this year, if he can avoid injury, he's going to be on a lot of my teams in redraft. I'm going to try to get him.
I did this last year, or not last year specifically, but when CMC was traded for by San Francisco, Rick had his pants on the floor and he was like, "Oh, CMC." And I was like, hold your freaking calm your pits.
Yeah.
And then he ended up, you know, doing whatever he did the last year and a half and winning fantasy championships, I would say. So I'm hesitating to go after Saquon Barkley in this aspect. The only thing that really hesitates me, A, injury, B,
yeah,
it's the fact that I spent a lot of time, because I had DeAndre Swift on a lot of teams in fantasy football last year. I spent a lot of time watching the Eagles, and they love to...
Kenneth Gainwell.
they love to throw Kenneth Gainwell in there for no particular reason, but they love to do the tush push on the 1 yard line, which is hella annoying. And then they also get more rushing touchdowns out of their freaking quarterback than they do their running back. So
I think they had like 7 tush push touchdowns.
It's ridiculous. Now maybe that changes now that you don't have Jason Kelce. I don't know. But my thing with Saquon is that I'm a little bit concerned about his touchdown upside. And if he starts scoring touchdowns like nobody's business in the first couple weeks of the season, then it doesn't matter. Like, he'll obviously be really good. Should he be ranked in the top 5? Yes. Should he be ranked in the top 3? Yes. Should he be ranked in the top 2? Maybe. He's going to be very good this year, and I don't want to fall into the same trap. I just hope he stays healthy, because
that's a good point. The tush push thing is, and I don't know how, I feel like they are really reliant though on Kelce with that, so I don't really know if they're going to, you know, how that's going to work and how that's going to play out, but that definitely will steal touchdowns from him.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, man, it does remind me a lot of McCaffrey, one of the 49ers, where you get this guy who's always been on a bad team, but he's clearly a very good running back.
Gets to a good team,
and then you put him on a great team, and it's just everything comes easy to him. And I feel like that's how it's going to be with Barkley. But, again, health is definitely going to be a big concern for him. So you would have him for sure top 3, though?
Yeah. I'm probably, at the end of the day, I'll probably have him top 3, because I think most likely the way that I watch them utilize Swift is how they're going to end up utilizing Saquon. And there was a lot of opportunity there, regardless of how many touchdowns Swift ended up scoring last year. So there's a good shot for me that a guy like Saquon can provide that ceiling, because I think he's far more explosive than Swift. So there's a chance that obviously 4, 5, 6 times on the season, he can break off a 20 to 50 yard touchdown, something like that. So, I mean, it's a lot, but I'm not super duper concerned about the tush push taking away reps, but you got to give it to him on the goal line. You can't play cute games. You got to get this guy's getting paid over $37.5 million over the next 3 years for your football team. You should probably give him the ball. So, and they're going to, but I like Saquon probably in the top 3, because I just don't think there's another team. There's not many workhorse running backs out there left. So, all right. Josh Jacobs signed with the Green Bay Packers, 4 years, $48 million. So they basically looked at Aaron Jones, said, "You're really old." And then got
I know a lot of Packers fans were not happy with this.
Yes. But Josh Jacobs is a really, really good running back, knowing how that they used Aaron Jones. I like this almost as a plug and play Josh Jacobs. I mean, Aaron Jones. He's very similar. I don't think there's going to be really any difference between him and Aaron Jones. So, like, if you want to look at how they utilized the running backs last year, and where Aaron Jones ended up finishing in fantasy football, which was when he was
it wasn't
healthy.
Great, wasn't it? But he was hurt last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was trying to find the averages.
I don't know what his points per game was.
His points per game were 11.6, and Josh Jacobs was 13.9. So, yeah, I think that's probably where you're going to anticipate Jacobs being, around 12 to 14 fantasy points per game, which he was RB 18 last year, and he did miss 4 games, so he probably would have finished a little bit higher than that. So I would say there's a good shot. If you're thinking mid-range for Josh Jacobs, he's probably a mid-range RB2, high-end. You know, he can sneak into the top 12 at running back.
Yeah, so it's kind of not really different than last year, you would say.
Yeah. I think the situation's better for Jacob. So if he really is that talented, like he was, the Raiders were never good. Josh Jacobs.
They did use him a lot though.
Yeah.
And his usage might be the same in Green Bay, but it might.
This is one of the most confusing ones I think we have on this list.
Yeah, this was definitely, even when it happened, we were all kind of like, what?
Why would they? We thought we were going to get Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs on the same
team. Yeah, and that's what, I mean, there's a Packers fan on Twitter that I follow. He was so excited. He was like, oh, dude, this is a great 1-2 punch. And he's like, we're going to cut AJ, or we're going to let AJ Dillon go, because AJ Dillon was a free agent. So they're like, oh. It's Jacobs and it's Aaron Jones, 1-2 punch. And then they cut Aaron Jones and re-signed A.J. Dillon. He was, like, heartbroken. But, no, I mean, Jacobs is kind of a weird fit with Green Bay, but on paper, I don't mind it because he is in a – I think the Packers are a better situation, right, than the Raiders. Like, they have a better team. They have a better offense. And they gave him a lot of money. I mean, 4 years, $48 million for a running back is a big contract. So, you know, they're probably going to use him. But they also might use A.J. Dillon in there. So, kind of like what you were saying, that RB 12 to 14 range, I think, is pretty accurate. He might be closer to 12. So, maybe like a very low-end RB 1.
Yeah, I agree with that. So we'll see what happens with Josh Jacobs and how we feel about him as the offseason goes along. I feel like I'm probably going to increase slightly in how I feel about him as time goes along.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But Derrick Henry signs with the Baltimore Ravens, 2 years, $16 million. I just want to caution people with the Derrick Henry thing.
Yeah,
he's going to get less work, I think,
with
Baltimore than he did with 100%. Tennessee. So because he's going to get less work, that means that he wasn't a highly efficient runner to begin with. And because of that, I don't think that he's going to have as many fantasy points. He might have more opportunity to score, which would offset that. My major concern with him is injury and age. So usually running backs who go to, you know, they come off their first contract and they go to their second contract and they're old, it typically doesn't work out. Just based on the trends that I've seen. So everyone's going to be lubed up and excited about Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens and they're going to draft him, but I'm probably going to have some red flags all around him saying, maybe I shouldn't take this guy. I mean, I'd take him if he was in a good spot and in the draft and you were feeling good about how your running back room looked. Like if he's the third running back on your team, like I'd be like, oh, let's go. But I have a feeling that people are going to make Derrick Henry a top 10 pick.
Yeah, he's going to get overdrafted without a doubt. I mean, he's going to still have good moments because I think they're going to use him like they used Gus. And Gus was 4 yards a carry, 12 catches. So he wasn't really efficient, wasn't a pass catcher, but he had 13 rushing touchdowns. So, like, I could see that with Derrick Henry. I don't know if he gets 13, but, like, he's going to probably get 10 touchdowns. So that's going to get you fantasy value alone. But he's not going to be pass catcher. He's not going to be super efficient. He's not the 300 carry guy anymore. So people are going to overdraft him when in reality he's going to be decent. And as you said, like RB 300 team is pretty good. But I could easily see him going like second round. That's just way too high for me.
Yeah. I agree. Pollard signs with the Tennessee Titans, 3 years, $24 million to replace Derrick Henry. Now, I wasn't liking Tony Pollard last year in Dallas, and they're good. So yeah. I don't like even further Tony Pollard in Tennessee where they're not too good.
Yeah.
I'm staying away from Tony Pollard just because I got scarred. Maybe I shouldn't, but he doesn't excite me in any way. And I don't know that he got a really nice contract from Tennessee, so they're going to utilize him. And maybe I should look at it because, I mean, they got a whole new coaching staff. So it's like maybe they don't look at it the same way. But in the past, they've given running backs a heck of a lot of work on the ground. So my guess is really look. I don't know. You got to take a closer look at what they're doing coaching-wise and what their coaches have done in the past to see what the new scheme is going to look like, and then determine whether or not you want to think of Tony Pollard as the new Derrick Henry, where he's not going to be as good as Derrick Henry, obviously, but if they give him 300 touches, you kind of, just based on volume, you kind of probably should take
him. I don't think they will, and I'll tell you why. I think, like you said, new coaching staff, number one. Who they hired the guy from the OC from the Bengals, right? I think. I don't remember his name. But
yes.
So I don't see that in that offense giving a running back 300 carries. I also don't think Pollard's that type of running back. I think they like Tajay Spears. To be honest with you, I think this is going to kind of be like a 1-2 punch where it's like a 60-40 split where Pollard's the guy, but, you know, they use Tajay Spears a lot. I think it's going to be gross for fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of out on it, but I'll see what the price is when we get to drafts. But I'm not paying a premium price for Tony Pollard. No, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Austin Eckler, the old man legs of Austin Eckler, leaving the Los Angeles Chargers and going to the Washington Commanders, 2 years, $11.43 million. So, hey, I just want to let everyone know, if you want to draft him late, feel free. Go ahead. I will not be touching Austin Eckler. Do you know what Austin Eckler is for the Commanders?
What?
The new Antonio Gibson.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, you know how I feel about Eckler at the end there.
Yeah.
He just, like, fell off a cliff. And well, his fantasy numbers the last, like, 4 weeks of season two, wasn't it just, like, awful the last 4 or 5 weeks of the year?
Yeah.
He averaged 3 yards a carry last year, dude. He is cooked. Now, he might have some fantasy value just because he's a pass catcher. So, like, PPR-wise, you know, he might end up having a couple games there where he puts up a couple decent fantasy points. But yeah, I'm good on Eckler. He's done. He's washed. He's there to be their third down back. And he's not even as good of a third down back as he once was. So he'll get some catches. He'll put up a couple of decent weeks, but no.
Yeah.
He's kind of like before they had Gibson. Remember JD McKissick?
Yes, I do.
That's kind of.
That could be the same. I'm just going to let you guys know. I'm going to let you guys know. We are going back to two episodes a week coming in the future. But for this week, maybe we're going to do one because we're recapping.
We could just split this into two.
We could split this into two or post it as one whole July-th episode to catch up.
We could.
Because we are halfway through the free agent signings. It's not a bad idea, Rick, to split it in two, though.
Running backs and then. We'll do the next one, receivers and tight ends.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Okay.
All right. So we have DeAndre Swift, who signs with the Chicago Bears, 3 years, $24 million. I mean, these contracts are really rich for some running backs.
Yeah.
Swift was okay last year. He started out really good early in the season with Philly, and then it just, like, tanked. It was such a hard tank. I almost had him in the home league as a trade. And I'm glad I didn't make that trade. Because he tanked real hard. He's with Chicago now. I think what happens to DeAndre Swift with Chicago is, like, they clearly wanted to, when you were watching them, when they had Herbert and some other guys, that they were looking to give one guy a majority of the reps, is what I saw last year. Herbert would get hurt, and then they'd throw... who's the guy they drafted? I can't remember his name, but we were all talking about him last year. Roshan Johnson. They'd throw him in there, and he would get the full gamut of reps. And then Khalil Herbert would come back, and he would get the full. So, and those guys looked good with Justin Fields and a bad offensive line. So I think Swift could have success with the Bears and be good and be a decent low-end RB2 and a guy that you can snag to be your second running back or maybe a flex option. I think his ceiling is really entirely predicated on how well Caleb Williams plays for Chicago, assuming he goes. So if Williams gets drafted by the Bears and he comes out like a lightning rod, like CJ Stroud, then I could see DeAndre Swift having a really, really good season with Chicago. And there might be more touchdown upside because the tush push factor will not be there. So he might be able to score more, but DeAndre Swift is a really interesting guy to me. He's going to be like, he's always polarizing, but he's going to be a polarizing fantasy guy to talk about all offseason because it's like some guys are going to like him, some guys aren't going to like him, and I'm really in the middle of the fence right now. I'm not really sure where I land.
Yeah, it's weird because it's another good landing spot in theory. Not as good as Philly, but still good. They still have Khalil Herbert on the roster, though, and they still have Roschon Johnson, who they drafted. So, like, I think they're going to use those guys. I don't think it's going to be, like, a workhorse situation for him. But, you know, he'll score some touchdowns. I'm not super thrilled, I would say, about it. I don't hate it. But, you know, where was he last year? Was he, like, a seventh-round pick?
Sixth round pick? I think he was a sixth, maybe a fifth.
Yeah, I wouldn't spend a fifth on him this year, probably, but maybe like a sixth or seventh again. Like, I kind of view it as, you know, it's obviously very different situations, but it's kind of, he's in a similar boat. Would you rather have Swift or Tony Pollard?
Swift. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably Swift.
Well, I would agree, but I think it's not that far off.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like razor thin, man. It's asking me tough questions in freaking March.
Yeah.
If it comes to draft day, I'm just going to throw my paper out the window and draft Justin Fields instead.
In the first round.
Yeah, in the first round. Yeah, that's
wild. But yeah, so I would say it's okay for Swift, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, and then Antonio Gibson from the Commanders signed with the New England Patriots, 3 years, $11.25 million. So it's a very similar contract to Austin Eckler, which is hilarious to me. Actually, never mind, it's not, because it's 3 years instead of 2 years. But anyway, I believe it's incentive-laden as well.
Yeah, it's only like $3 million in actual money, I think.
So, while I think this is a good signing for the New England Patriots, I don't think this is great for fantasy football. A lot of things still going to happen for this team. They have Ramondre Stevenson already. So, whatever you thought of of Antonio Gibson on the Washington Commanders, he's probably the exact same thing on the New England Patriots. Like, it's
I would say so. But I think he's a good handcuff.
Yeah, I think he would be a great handcuff.
And, like, he's going to have a little bit of standalone value. He's kind of, like you said, he's kind of the same as he was with the Commanders. Nothing to really be excited about.
Yeah, for sure. All right, and then the final guy, and then we'll split this into two. In the next episode, we'll do part two. Aaron Jones signs with, after he gets cut by Green Bay, he signs with the Minnesota Vikings on a one-year, $7 million deal. Where did Gus Bus go anyway? You put Gus Edwards question.
Gus went to the Chargers. There's a couple little signings that, I mean, might
impact.
Like the New York Giants gave Devin Singletary $16 million. So
16?
Yeah.
What's the AAV on that?
It's 3 years at 16 and a half. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's not. I mean, it's good, but it's not great.
It's not crazy, but like, he might be their starting running back. Yeah. Gus went to the Chargers. They'll probably bring somebody else. But because Aaron Jones is $7 million, that's probably going to be their starter. They don't have anyone else. Madison, I think, went to the Raiders. So that running back room right now is just Aaron Jones. I don't mind it. I mean, Aaron Jones is old, and he has not played a lot of football the last like 2 years. He's been injured, so there's that. But. Or really just last year. I guess he wasn't injured in 2022. But last year he missed six games.
Mm-hmm.
So injuries and age is going to be a huge concern. But if you can get him at a discount, I mean, why not? Because I'm looking at the Vikings running back room right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is really just Aaron Jones. And I think they have the Johnson guy? Let me look it up real quick.
Yeah.
Ty Chandler. So it's Ty Chandler and Aaron Jones.
Their
room.
So, you know, for me, you see Madison walk out the door, and he signed with a team as well. Can't remember who it was, but Raiders. I never want to remember him again. Aaron Jones going to Minnesota, we'll see how much he really does have left in the tank. This definitely feels like, you know, like when Dalvin Cook left Minnesota.
Yeah.
And he went to the Jets. That's and true. He was that just mid. True. But they really don't have anyone there in Minnesota to run the ball. But this is going to be a roster like, you know, I heard somebody in sports media refer to Justin Jefferson being a Ferrari. You ever see that meme of the Ferrari in the parked in the mobile home?
Yes. Yeah.
Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
About. That's Justin Jefferson right now, because the Vikings offense went from being really, 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 really good to. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a running back. And now they just have really two options that, I always forget about Addison. He's still there. So, right. But they need a quarterback. So if they don't
JJ McCarthy,
if they don't get a quarterback and that quarterback doesn't have large amounts of success early, I don't know how much success Aaron Jones will have in the long term.
Theoretically, they trade up for McCarthy, right?
Okay.
Is he starting week one or is it Sam Darnold?
They might start Sam Darnold to start.
Right. And I don't know if we like that very much.
Yeah.
Unless he still got hope.
Hey.
As a former Sam Darnold truther.
Yes. No, he's done. I think JJ probably would start at some point, but I don't know. I just don't. I think it's Aaron Jones' second contract, and I think this is troublesome.
Third contract.
Yeah, no, he's just old, and he's going to a new team.
He's,
I would love for him to cook Green Bay, though. That would be funny.
I think at a discount, I'd be willing to take a flyer on him, but, you know.
Which is probably.
You're not paying a premium price for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. There's your part one. We talked about quarterbacks and running backs here on what we like to call Old Faces, New Places, baby. Lots of fantasy relevancy here. Be sure to check out our next show, Wide Receivers, Tight Ends. We'll talk about those upgrades, and we'll talk to you later, guys. Bye.
See you.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Champions Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes and YouTube, and follow us on Twitter @TheFFChamps.